Stand by for The Dollar Doctors coming up next on KB Radio. While Willard and Peter warm up their computers, a reminder that for years, The Dollar Doctors have presented free, useful workshops describing their supply and demand approach to the market. Many have attended these strictly educational workshops and have learned about this methodology that's been around for 100 years and works as well today as ever. The Dollar Doctors use this supply and demand method to help determine the probable future trend of any stock or mutual fund. Over the years, hundreds of attendees have used this method to better make unemotional decisions on when to buy and when to sell. You may be among those who, while listening to the Dollar Doctors, have watched the very charts they're discussing. The supply and demand method has many advantages, but one disadvantage: it does require vigilance and can be time-consuming if you really want to feel that you're on top of your assets. That's why, over time, some of Willard and Peter's listeners have asked them to manage their investment portfolios as well as their 401ks. Sapriston Asset Management now manages investments for several hundred clients who found it comforting to know that Sapriston Asset Management is watching over their financial well-being and who feel a time-consuming burden's been lifted from their shoulders. If you've ever considered having Sapriston Asset Management help you with your investment decisions, you can easily get full information with no obligation by calling Peter or Willard at 854-7541. They'll be glad to inform you of the many ways they can help. That phone number again, 716-854-7541, or call toll-free at 800-879-7541. And now here are the Dollar Doctors.
Good morning, it's Willard Sapriston.
And Peter Greco.
Saturday, October 6, 2018 at 10:04. Give us a ring at 716-803-1520, 716-803-0321, or 1-800-879-7541. We are the Dollar Doctors. We are live. We also have a chat box that you go to sapriston.com. Hit Dollar Doctor, go to the bottom. Is that right, Peter?
Correct.
And you can type in some symbols or questions you have. Show's brought to you by Sapriston Asset Management. We now clear securities through Brighton Securities of Rochester, New York. They are member FINRA SIPC MSRB, and soon we'll have all of our taglines changed for that. But this only happened on Tuesday. Maybe it was Wednesday. Right now, give us a ring, 803-1520 or 1-800-879-7541. We do have someone on the chat box that's interested in Lowe's and interested in DVN. What do you think of Lowe's?
I don't know.
You don't know. We're going to look.
You have to take a look. I got a great deal there one day. I walked in.
We buy all our appliances there now instead of Sears. What does that tell you?
Well, we know what's happening this year.
And they were polite, unlike Sears, who was not polite. And they actually brought them. Unlike Sears, after we paid for them, they never brought them. But they took our money. Here's your Lowe's. Closed at 109.74, 50-day moving average 106, so you're above. 200 at 96. Taking a rest. Support at 102.
No, it's pulling back with the market, and real support now would be back around 102 or so, you know, in that area. So if you're looking, you know, depending, watch the market. You know, if these stocks keep pulling back, you may want to wait and see if it pulls back closer to that 102 area, and then you could probably use a reasonable stop below what?
93, if you don't mind.
Right, yeah. Well, no, if you bought it around 102, 104, 7%, stop around 93.
Right? Yeah. 7%.
So, I mean, it had broken out to a new all-time high, but, you know, we know what's going on in the market. We know interest rates are rising rapidly. And
the theory might be that as mortgage rates go up, which you can see at our website, sapriston.com, and hit free economic research, you can see the interest rates on the front page, and you can see that the 30-year fixed rate a year ago was 3.85, and now it's 4.71.
Yeah, so up almost a point, you know, in that time span. But anyway, so that would be the game plan, you know, if you've done your own research. You know, see, I said that. Do your own
research.
I'm
very glad.
See that? Aren't you so glad?
I am very glad.
You know, keep the regulators happy, keep the world happy.
That's right.
Just wonderful. But anyway, So if you've looked into it, you have a strong reason why you want to buy it. And, you know, maybe you shop there and you love Lowe's. But anyway, yeah, I mean, I would watch the market if the market's a little weak and this pulls back toward 102, 104. You know, I'd look at it.
Take a stab.
Yeah, and 93 stop on it.
And if you owned it,
yeah,
you'd leave it.
Leave it at the moment, yeah.
No reason to do anything. The next stock on the chat box
is Devon Energy, yeah, DVN.
I never followed that. What does that tell you?
I don't know. It had been one of the better oil companies for years. I don't know what it's been doing lately because I haven't watched it at all. So,
well,
eventually comes up.
Yeah, closed at 40, 50-day at 41.65, 200-day at 39. It would have a pretty good stop point at 38 on the point and figure chart.
Yeah, it's very strange that the energy stocks haven't been doing a lot better with the oil prices way up where they are right now. I think I read today that Brent oil is at $86 a barrel, you know, and you know, so it's kind of surprising, and they think it's going to go to 90.
I'm going to show you something that I saw this morning, DBO, mm-hmm. which is the oil ETF. Look at that.
Yeah, DBO, boy, that looks nice.
It's a beauty.
Yep. Yeah, DBO.
But it's a commodity, and that's a little different.
But, you know, Devon Energy's come down to the 200-day. It's come down to support. And, you know, once again, if you've looked into it and you have other strong reasons to buy it.
And you've done your own research.
Yeah, we have to keep saying that. So, you know, it's
certainly for the first show with us clearing through Brighton Securities, or whatever you call it.
Exactly. You know, so we should have a little song made, you know.
Well, we're doing that.
It plays in the background.
Oh,
you do your own research, do you? You know.
I'd like to.
At any rate, it is at a potential buy point, and, you know, you could use a reasonably close stop and or reevaluate it at that point in time. But, yeah, it could be interesting because I think if the energy stocks finally start picking up with the oil prices, you know, this one could go back up and go back up to its previous high, you know, which was, where was that?
Well, 50.
Yeah, around 50 or so.
At 40, basically.
Yeah, so looks potentially as a potential buy here, you know.
Good morning, Don from Hamburg.
Good morning, gentlemen. Peter, don't quit your day job because you'll never make it in the singing industry.
Nicely put. So,
okay.
I thought that was better than usual. But anyway, go ahead. It just didn't come out right on the radio.
That's right. It must.
It sounds much better in the shower.
Something wrong with the transmission, right?
Right, exactly.
Okay, gentlemen, here we go. Interest rates are rising. This time I think it's for real.
Mm-hmm.
Bank stocks didn't do anything this week. I'm looking at charts. I'm trying to figure out which sector is going to benefit from this. I started a small position in Prudential, small,
mm-hmm.
and I want to add to it. But I'm looking back into February when we had this...
Same type of thing, right?
Same type of thing,
right.
And whatever I look at, Prudential in particular, that dropped.
Mm-hmm.
It dropped a lot. And Citigroup, same thing, dropped a lot. Went from 80 down to 71 at 2.818. So in January it was 80, and February 8th, it was 71.87.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a hell of a drop. So are we in for pain like that? And just
Well, let's see. What I don't understand is I had read this morning that the financial sector was one of the strongest sectors last week, up almost 2%.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think you'd have to look back in February what the spread was, okay? It might have still been a narrow spread even with the interest rate going up, okay? They said now spreads have widened, right?
Yeah.
So it's a slightly different situation, you know? And I think, you know, for the jump last week, Prudential acted very well.
Right. They were upgraded, I think, by Goldman Sachs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that one day it jumped $2.
Okay.
And yesterday it really didn't do anything with the market. But I like Prudential.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, a great company. You know, they're doing well.
Hapbox. We used to clear through them years ago when they were in the clearing business.
So I'm kind of confused because of me looking back till February and
right.
I'm figuring that, okay, they went up, bank stocks should have went up, dropped.
Mm-hmm.
And they dropped, like I said.
Yeah, like I say, I don't know what the spread was at
Prudential
that time.
Went from 78 to 64, and of course now it's 72-ish, 73.
Mm-hmm.
It looks good, but I mean, are you happy if you only go up? If it goes up, are you happy if it goes up 8 points or 10%? Because that's sort of the top. It's certainly
right.
earlier this year, 80.5.
Well, I mean, I think they'll be aided by the, you know, the, mm-hmm. the higher interest rates. I think, you know, the insurance companies, you know, will benefit from that. And I was looking for another group instead of the banks, you know, because,
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I
don't see any real promise with Citi or Wells mm-hmm. or maybe, J.P. Morgan.
I'm
looking at all these charts, and they're all telling me the same thing. They all went down, no matter what bank I looked at or what, you know, what in, I looked at Travelers, I looked at Prudential, I looked, you know, so I'm asking you guys, if you're sitting there right now and you're saying, okay, what group would I like to look at next week? You know, would it be the insurers? Would it be the banks? Would it be, you know, what?
You're saying interest rate related.
Yeah, I think so. I think this rate is going to stay. You know, of course, the market's going to be kind of in a tizzy Monday with China and all of that stuff, but you try to block all of that out. But, this rate increase has been pretty substantial.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, once again, the level of rates. It's how fast they go up.
Right.
And
right.
and that was a similar jump, you know, to February, you know, how quickly it rose, you know.
Remember Stan Weinstein?
Yeah.
Don't fight the Fed.
Don't fight the Fed.
That was his saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I got
his book
somewhere.
You know, I mean, I have some, you know, protection and for next week,
mm-hmm.
you know, I did really good with my put on triple Qs this week, but mm-hmm. you know, I mean, I don't have anything in the queues next week, but I do have other stuff. But I think it's probably best to just stay on the sidelines and see what happens.
Well, I was almost going to say that. I mean, you don't have to jump in Monday morning. And,
right,
you know, say,
right.
You know,
but I'd like to start to build a position, but...
Right, yeah. I mean, you could pick certain stocks and say, geez, if it drops down to this level, I really want to buy it, you know,
right.
at that price, you know, so you can have a little watch list. Who else
right.
is in the insurance business there?
Travelers.
Travelers, and do you know their symbol at
all? TRV.
TRV.
Yeah, take a look at that one there. Yeah, see that looks
it's
pretty
got a
decent.
Better chart than Prue, but I don't know that. I mean, it's been going up basically since 2014, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, but you know, where's the 200-day on this? You know, I noticed Prudential's right. You know, 71's is
133 with the close at 130. You're
yeah.
in the 200. Yeah, 50
so
days, 130.
So. So I mean, they look interesting. You know,
price objective 150.
Yeah. So,
point
like you, when you sit back a little and watch a little longer. So,
yeah, I think that's what I'll do.
Or buy half of whatever you usually.
Yeah,
buy.
That's. I mean, I bought like a quarter of what I really want to get, but yeah, I just figure I'll start and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
The way these charts look from February, it's scary.
Oh yeah, that's.
I mean, I don't care what stock you looked at. They all. I mean, it was a terrible 5-6 days there.
Yep.
Exactly.
First to the 10th or something like that.
The world was coming to an end psychologically.
Yeah. I mean, I was in Florida. I went to Disney World. The market was fine. I come back and it was down 1,000 points at one point during
mm-hmm.
the day. You know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That ruined the day.
Right. Ruins anybody's
well,
day.
Well, understand, you know, what kind of market you're in and with the risk, right?
Yeah, I think everybody should kind of like just sit back and.
And some people, when they go away, they close out for the week or whatever, you know.
Right, I know, but you can't, you know. I mean, you don't want to do that too. But I was gone for 2 months. I wasn't gonna.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
So I guess I'll just sit back and wait.
You sit and watch, and you get a few more clues as to what's going on, you know.
Right, right. If it reacts like it did last time, there's going to be. But I mean, I lightened up a lot on my technology stuff. Sold half my square.
Mm-hmm.
I'm playing with their money now, so it's a great deal. But I mean, they all got hit.
Oh, yeah. The NASDAQ was creamed, right across the board.
Right.
And the small caps even got hit worse, you know. So.
Right, right. And you know how fast they can turn around and come back.
Well, exactly. You know, they always had that thing, you know, the best days in the market usually were after the worst day in the market. You know,
right.
So.
It's true.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Sounds smart, too, when you say that.
That's pretty good. All right, gentlemen.
Okay.
Thanks, Don.
All right, take care. Thanks for calling. Right. Okay.
Thank you. You're listening to Willard Saperson, Peter Greco, The Dollar Doctors Live, brought to you by Saperson Asset Management, clearing our securities through Brighton Securities in Rochester. FINRA, SIPC, MSRB, RIA. I don't know what the real tagline should be, but that should be enough. Good morning, Bill.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Okay.
And
how are you?
And you're always worried about your bond portfolio.
Hey, you have a crystal ball.
Well, I've listened to the show a few times over 20 years.
Yeah. Okay. So along those lines.
Here we go. The 10-year bond, which is how I look at it. In 2000, could have been 14, got to 3.4.
Right.
And it would seem to me, although do your own research, that would be the limit of where we might go now, and you're at 3.25-ish, right? You closed at 3.225.
Okay.
But clearly, when looking at a yield chart, it stopped several times at 4. That was 2010. That's the right year. And you could see it go back and scare the heck out of everyone if they're not scared already.
Right.
And the only thing you can do is go to cash or a very short-term bond fund. I know you're in Vanguard. I know Vanguard has those. But with the Fed raising the short-term rates, they're at risk too, right?
Right.
So where do you hide?
And if you have it, some in the intermediate-term investment grade.
Well, it's seven.
The outlook isn't good.
7 to 10 years. It's the same outlook. It doesn't matter whether they're corporate bonds or govies.
Okay.
Rates go up, they drop. It's mechanics, right? It's mechanical.
Yeah.
So.
So does one stay as a holder if you're a long-term investor?
Well, he's still going to go down. Can you handle it? If rates continue to go up.
Yeah,
so why not take...
You get the income.
You have X amount of dollars. Take 6 months off and see what happens. You know, sell a third or a half and put it in a money market.
Well, how much income are you getting from the bond fund anyway?
Well, let's see.
As a percent,
you're saying. As a percent. 3%, 4%, 2%, I don't know.
Boy, you know, as much as I bonds for me, why I keep getting more anxious, I know I don't understand them as fully as I should.
Okay.
I've tried hard.
No, the only reason I asked them.
No, it's a good question.
But I mean, you can go out now and get, I think, what, 6 month CDs or 1 year CDs for 2 point something right now.
Well, yeah, I called a couple weeks ago, and I liked the Vanguard or anybody, the prime money market.
Right, yeah.
Very appealing.
Oh, yeah.
And did make a move into that area based on
right.
I just, there's no worry. It's secure.
Yep.
At this point in time, it's probably only going to go up. I guess the question, I'm beginning to think, if you can tolerate your principal going down, you hang on in there because you get income. If you can't tolerate your principal going down, you get out. Is that a good guideline to use?
I would say so.
We always said if you can't sleep at night, you're too heavily invested.
If it's driving you nuts, and you could always go to the prime money market, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then make a decision later, and say, okay, now it looks like it's a little clearer what to do.
Let me come back to where you say it's secure. It has a secure perception, but in 2008, a few of the money markets dropped below a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And now they tell people there's that risk, of course. They have to after what happened.
Yeah.
And some of them froze the assets so you could only get your money back in 3 months and stuff like that. There's a time period with these, and you'll read the prospectus.
Yeah.
And and then when they did pay it back, they paid it at 93 cents on the dollar.
Okay.
So when you say it's secure,
okay.
You wouldn't put all your bond money in the thing.
No.
It's perceived to be secure, but now they've changed all the rules. They'll do their very best to keep it at a buck a share, of course.
Okay. All right. And Peter, I think, if I'm correct in my calculation, the income on at right now is at 1.52, something like that.
On what?
On the intermediate term investment grade.
Oh, is it? Okay, yeah.
So that's below the
price. Yeah, I know. It's below that. I mean, it's not like you're going to be out forever, if you do something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, when the situation, if not that it's ever perfectly clear, but it can be a little clearer than it is now,
mm-hmm.
and then you can decide what to do,
Okay. That seems to make sense.
But again, where I made mistakes in 41 years, because Peter never makes a mistake.
Nope.
Is doing all of this or all of that. Been much better when I've done partial. Sell a half, sell a quarter, change a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Because
you don't know, and things could turn on a dime, and we could have some kind of international event that would drive people into treasuries, which would bring the yield right back down.
Down, okay.
So don't go whole hog, as they say, in my experience.
Okay, real good. So I appreciate that, and I I remember you saying, excuse me, inspect what you expect. And that's what I was doing the other day.
That's good.
And with that, I think Mike Duda with your annuities is an insurance. Again, I say it, good man, good person.
Mm-hmm. We totally agree.
Thank you.
Yep. So
he's done a lot of good for people.
He's saved people a lot of money and bailed them out of some bad situations.
And explained things, when your insurance is very confusing.
Yep.
That's all. As we all know, right?
Right.
Yeah, he's very good.
Yep.
Thank you for saying that.
And he didn't pay me, so.
No, well, very good.
We didn't?
Glad you said that.
Okay. All right. Take care, people.
All right, take care. Thanks for calling.
Day.
Thanks very much.
You too. Bye now.
Live. Saturday, October 6, 2018, Peter Greco, Willard Saperston. The Dollar Doctors brought to you by Saperston Asset Management. Back office, clearing securities through Brighton Securities in Rochester now, and that is, they are members of FINRA, SIPC, MSRB, RIA. Do your own research. And do you want to talk about the market, or do you want to hit some stocks that are on the you can go to saperston.com.
Dollar Doctor
Dollar
tab,
Doctor
at the live streaming,
and
then
the bottom,
go to the bottom.
At the bottom, you can type in symbols if you don't want to give us a ring. And if you do want to give us a ring, 716-803-1520, 716-803-1520, or 1-800-879-7541.
So what did you say? There's something in the chat box?
There are.
Oh, okay.
I'm writing the symbols down because I'll forget them if I go to a chart.
You have a short-term memory problem?
Never.
No.
Okay. Zach wants to know about IR Ingersoll Rand, and we will look quick, and then we'll take our next caller. Ingersoll Rand closes at 103. It's had a beautiful breakout in that 97-98 area.
Right.
Price objective, point and figure price objective, 117.
Yeah, that's a major breakout.
Yeah,
you know, that's a really major
one,
major
two,
breakout.
Three, basically a quadruple
mm-hmm.
breakout from 2017, from last year.
I mean, if you're a long-term investor, you know, as long as it stays above the 200, which is at 92, it's in good shape.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could reevaluate it.
50-day at 100, I mean, you're above that.
Exactly. And
it's got teeth, as they say,
yeah,
right?
No, look, looks,
IR Ingersoll
yeah,
Rand.
Look, yeah, looks very nice in here.
Yeah,
and support
nice.
Should be where? Somewhere in the...
97, 98.
97 immediate support, 98. Long-term support would be around the 200-day, which would be what, 91?
91.
91. Yeah. Yep. So it looks very interesting here.
Doesn't mean it goes up. Do your own research.
And as you know, the market will affect everything. So be aware of that.
Good morning, Vic from Amherst.
Good morning, guys.
The smartest caller we have, the most knowledgeable.
Not really. I've got a question for you. I bought that book, When to Sell, per your recommendation. I'm halfway through it. And in a minute or less, what are your? You finished the book, obviously, huh?
Yeah, and I'm thinking I better read it again.
Well, what are your big takeaways from the book? I was just curious because I have a few.
Well, you got to go to the last chapter, which you haven't gotten to yet. I don't know if I should spoil it for you.
I may go to the last chapter. it is kind of dry reading. That was my point.
Well, there's a couple things. There's a ratio they talk about of short-term T-bills to AAA corporates.
Okay.
And I don't know what page it was on. And when I earmarked it, though, I don't have the book with me, obviously. And when that ratio goes below 2 and hits the 1.9 range, we've always had a recession and always had a pretty healthy market sell down. Now, that ratio is published by the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis, and I used to get their charts on interest rates. I think it came weekly, and they gave it to you for free once you signed up. Now it's on the Internet, and you can find that ratio on the Internet, and you can keep track of it at their website. And we were over the... the red zone, so to speak, when I looked last week. I'd want to look again based on the change in rates this week, and I will this weekend. So that was A, I love that, and B, because no one follows that anymore. And then B, the last chapter is on short selling, and for a guy that sells puts and calls and buys puts and calls, that would be right up your alley. And what they said, that the old hedge fund managers of the 60s and 70s didn't try to short a stock at the top because it was very unclear what the top is. They don't want to short a strong stock. They want to short one that's proven that it's lousy and broken the 50 and 200-day moving averages and looks that it'll go down more. And there are a lot of those around. You just got to search. And you got to search, in my opinion, sectors. For example, will home builders go any lower if interest rates keep rising, because of mortgage rates? Maybe. They look terrible, the home builders. So that's one I was thinking about. But for you, with your option business, you gotta read the last chapter, maybe second to last, on short selling.
So what you're telling me is that the book, I could save a lot of time if I hit the last chapter and find that.
The problem with the book is that some of the ratios aren't published or used anymore. They talk about.
Yeah, they were doing. So I got up to a 30-week moving average was in one chapter of the book.
Yeah.
I've always used 10 and 40 on a weekly. 10 and 40 moving average weekly. So they throw a 30 in there. But I guess the thing is what each individual stock obviously reacts differently to a different moving average. So you got to kind of play with that, right, Pete?
Exactly.
You're always hounding on that point, and I find it very true where you just got to plug in the numbers, and all of a sudden you're going to find one where it seems to resist going below it.
Respond to that, right? Exactly.
Respond to that,
yep.
Right. That's something I learned from Pete over the years. Another quick question for Willard. You're an fixed income guy. Where are you putting new money cash in a taxable account? where are you putting new money to come into a taxable account with this interest rate scenario we're looking at now? Somebody comes to you with $100K and said, "I'm all set with my equities. I want to go fixed income." Are you dollar cost averaging in a certain types of plays? I mean, how are you handling new cash in a taxable account?
Are you assuming you'd invest all the money at once? Because we wouldn't.
No, I'm not assuming that at all. No.
Okay. We wouldn't do that. We've had very good luck over the years with mortgages, Ginnie Mae, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. And the reason we have is because if you stay with a short average life, you keep getting principal back. And so as rates rise, you get principal back to reinvest at a higher rate. So a year ago, those rates got down to 2.5. We weren't too comfortable with that. But as they came back to 3, we started short average life. Now they're 3.5, and we're getting good principal payment back to buy at the 3.5, staying short again. So that's one area. The other area, there are a couple preferreds as well as preferred ETFs that have variable rate securities inside, and as rates go up, they should hold their own, so to speak, and still give 3-4%.
So you like a bin, you wouldn't have any problem somebody dollar cost in averaging into like a Vanguard, just a standard Vanguard Ginnie Mae?
I don't know, because we don't use funds for that. We buy the actual bonds, and we model each bond. You really need Bloomberg to do it, because you have to model the prepayment speeds, the expected prepayment speeds, and you can buy new ones where they sort of come out with a speed they're trying to sell you, or you can buy used ones that have a history to them, which we're a little more comfortable with. Used meaning they've been around 2-3 years, you see.
What's the symbol on the preferred you use? The preferred.
Well, you could look at VN. You could look at what is it? VRP, Peter.
Mm-hmm.
VRP.
And that's got a floating rate, though, right?
Yeah. Now there's also a few preferreds, which I don't have at the tip of my tongue, that are actually have floating rates themselves. Banks.
Right.
And
right.
You're gonna have to do a lot of homework to do that, but. You also have to determine where's the 10-year going to go. We're thinking where it was in 2010, which was 3.4. It's only 0.25% more.
Right,
and so
right,
if
right.
you're comfortable, you can sort of average in, thinking it's going to stop there, or then it's going to turn and come back down.
Yeah, I've got money in that Vanguard Prime Money Market's paying about 2.1 now, which isn't bad.
No, just the last caller said it's very stable, and I said great, but that's expected to be stable. But in 2008, there was a real problem with these things.
Yeah, I know.
And so don't go crazy. You know, don't do 100% of anything in anything. That's our motto.
I've been doing with some of it, and I've got more I want to deploy, but I'm just uncomfortable with equities. If you can put in APLE, Apple, that's a hotel REIT out of Virginia, paying about 7% now. And they pay monthly. So every month I'm getting a check, which I love. And this thing is bad.
Who doesn't?
Very stable between 17 and 20. So what I've been doing was selling the 1750 put monthly. Every month I sell it for 30. It's been around 35 cents. Okay. So I'm collecting on the actual common. I got a boatload of it. So I'm collecting 7% on the common every month. Now it's at its lower range now. It just got to 17 just this past week. So my 1750s in the money. So what I'll do is the third week of October, I'll roll again. I'll close it. I'll buy the close and I'll sell another X amount of them. But I'm keeping. I don't want to really take it at 1750. But I'm collecting that monthly. Yet I'm collecting a over 7% dividend now. And I like the actual REIT itself. I've had it for a while. It goes between 17 and 20. So I'm getting them both ways. But it's hard to find really ways in which to produce income if you want to stay out of the equity market.
Well, the other issue you've got with this REIT is what if they cut the dividend?
Well then I move on, but they've been pretty good so far. I listened to their conference call. This is the father started it. The father's about 80 years old, but he has three sons that are behind him, and they've been insider buying this thing for 6 months, nice chunks of it. They obviously like the company. The only type of hotels they have are upper Holiday Inns and upper Marriott, and they have 170 of them with occupancy rates about 97%. So I like the stock. I've had the stock for a long time. But what I've been doing on is selling these puts every month, $17.50. Just keep collecting premium, and when it goes under $17.50, I've got enough for the common. I don't take the common. I'll buy the close, and I'll sell another X amount. So that's what I've been doing for income, but it seems to work out.
The other issue, if you're going to go do REITs, a different one, try to look for one that's still above the 200-day moving average. They're not a lot. They're far and few between, but it's comforting. Let's put it that way.
But if you look at a long-term track record of this thing, I found this. I researched it. It goes between 17 and 20. It's at its low now. So the 17.50s, I feel comfortable with. If it's put to me, I'm still getting 7% a year, and they're paying me monthly. That's not a bad thing.
No, I agree. I agree.
Okay, guys, good show. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to break.
You are listening to The Dollar Doctors. Every Saturday morning, live from 10 to 11, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco of Saperstein Asset Management answer your questions about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The Dollar Doctors are heard live every Saturday morning on ESPN 1520 Buffalo. Their shows are also available 24/7 at saperstein.com. Years of previous shows are available there. The Dollar Doctors shows also rebroadcast Saturday night at midnight. If you'd like to have Saperstein Asset Management evaluate your portfolio and discuss management services, you can contact Willard or Peter by calling in Buffalo 854-7541 or toll-free 800-879-7541. Again, in Buffalo, 854-7541, toll-free 800-879-7541. Now back to the Dollar Doctors.
We're back, Willard Saperstein, Peter Greco, Saturday, October 6, 2018. We are live at 10:40. Give us a ring at 803-1520 or 1-800-879-7541 or go to our website, saperstein.com. Go to the Dollar Doctor drop down, go to live streaming, go to the bottom and stick in a symbol if you want us to talk about a stock. Show is brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management with free economic research at the website by Stone & McCarthy, saperstein.com. And we are clearing our securities. This is new through Brighton Securities in Rochester, New York, member FINRA, SIPC, MSRB, and RIA. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, guys.
Yeah, thanks for waiting.
Hello, good morning. Hello.
Hello. How can we help you?
Good morning there.
I wanted to get your thoughts on the credit card companies. They took a pretty sizable hit this week.
Well, read this week's Barron's.
Oh, really?
Yep, they covered both of them, and they were very positive on them.
On both MasterCard and Visa?
Yep.
Visa looks good. I'm looking at it.
They both look good. They took sizable hits.
Yeah, well, I mean, everything did. I mean, you know, I mean, it's...
Well, what's a sizable hit? 5 points?
Maybe 3 or 4%
on 150.
Yeah,
right?
That's not surprising. Yeah.
Well, 1 point is a buck and a half. Yeah. So,
yeah. Yeah, 3 or 4%. The Nasdaq was down 3%. Uh-huh. You know, and
so
small caps were down 4%. Oh, yeah, they had a very interesting article on them. They've explained why MasterCard's up more in this year than
I'd like to know because I have some of them both and I notice it.
They said because MasterCard has started from a lower revenue base.
Right.
So when they both had the same increase, okay,
mm-hmm.
but you know, in dollars, okay,
right.
But percentage-wise, they're growing faster, right?
Uh-huh.
MasterCard, so
right.
That's why it has done better. So
there's no doubt. I mean,
I forgot which one. They said in the short term they'd go with Visa, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
And I think you read it. I forgot one of them. I thought it was short term was Visa. Long term, they go with MasterCard.
Sure.
You know, so.
Which you can buy a little of both, right?
Yeah,
sure.
which is the safer way to do it.
So you don't buy the wrong one.
Right.
No, I mean, geez. I mean, in retrospect, if you'd invested everything in those two,
kidding me.
All you have to do.
Yeah. Wish we knew that. Right.
Yeah. You got to do nothing else.
Exactly. It's amazing, really.
This year, MasterCard's up 40. Yep. And Visa's up 27.
Yeah, that's what
I'm not going to sneeze at either of those.
Oh yeah, no but, doubt. Yeah. I'm just wondering, like you know, you guys were talking about rising interest rates. I mean, how much effect that'll have on these companies is a good question.
I'm not so sure.
Well, the people that pay on the credit cards are paying a lot.
I don't think
it matters.
Well, don't forget that all of these people...
In terms of, like, defaults on debts and stuff like that?
Well, I mean, it's possible, right? But, is that a problem years down the road?
Right,
is it a problem tomorrow?
You know? Okay.
But don't forget, too, that they're all variable rate cards these days.
Mm-hmm.
So you pay more interest
when
as
it goes
interest
up.
Rates go up.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, we're still getting a decent rate right now, 20%, right?
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't sound legal, does it?
Oh, tell me about it, Willard. Tell me about it.
You can't get out from
under
that.
I wonder what they'd do to me if I charged that.
Yeah.
You'd be in jail. No.
Yes.
Yep.
I think there's usury laws.
Yeah.
I don't know how they get around them,
right?
I don't know.
But anyway.
Utility companies, they do the same thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't pay your phone bill and see what happens.
Cute.
You guys were talking about oil earlier.
Yep.
And, I mean, it's very interesting, like you said. I mean, oil prices are marching higher.
Right.
Yet the stocks of the oil companies, you know, they're not really getting dumped or anything, but,
no, but they're
very
not,
volatile, some of them.
Yeah, not doing what you would, you know, you'd think they'd be going through the roof, the
right,
oil stocks, right.
right?
I mean, there are some, okay? Yeah, you know, some of the smaller oil stocks. Mm-hmm. Have done exceptionally well.
Well, there's one that comes to mind is EC, but I mean, I don't know very much about it. Very small company.
I didn't hear the symbol.
EC.
B as in boy.
Echo. Charlie.
That's
EC.
Where are they located?
I think it's Colombian or something like that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And that one's been exceptional, really. Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, you know, BP's holding up well.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of small ones that people don't follow. This one's been exceptionally good.
Got a nice chart.
EC,
it's got a price objective of 25 and it closed at 26, so that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, but it's got blue sky above up to 30.
Yep. What was the breakout on that? Around 25, I think it had a breakout on.
Well, at 20, it had a
major breakout.
23,
at
20, it had a
23
good
another
one.
Buy. You know.
So if you wanted to buy it now, what would you look for? Like, what support area would you be looking at? That.
Well, I don't know. Where's the 50 and
200? You're on the trend line.
It just broke the long-term downtrend line, which is another positive.
50 is 23, and the 200 is 20.
So between 20 and 23.
So if it comes back to 23, look at it. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The BP looks good, I would say, right?
Well, take a look, BP.
You know, that's been hovering between 46 and, like, I don't know, 42. So it's, you know, it's hanging in there very well.
Well, I will tell you that, you know. Well, hang on a second.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's like either the big guys think that this oil price is not sustainable.
That's what I think has been the problem all along. Then all of a sudden they're going to go, uh-oh.
that's what I'm thinking, Peter. No. At some point it'll just blow out, right?
Exactly.
That these things will just, like, you know, 10, 20% in a week.
Oh, yeah. They'll say, hey, wait a minute. This is real.
And everybody's left behind, right?
Yep. And, you know, just for the fun of it, take a look at CRC. It's not for the faint of heart, but it's been unbelievable, really. Another one.
Okay.
I mean, you could find a whole bunch of these.
Yeah. Well, you know, and there are a lot of the smaller U.S. ones, like Fang and EOG and PXD. You know.
Oh yeah.
But like you said, I mean, you're gonna be tossing and turning at night.
Oh yeah, no question.
So I'm thinking maybe it's better.
But I'm with you. I think the problem could be wrong, but it seems like people keep saying, this isn't going to keep up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
they don't think it's sustainable.
They don't think it's sustainable, and then they're going to say, "Oh, we were wrong," and they'll all rush in. You know.
I don't know. It's a good question. Well, I mean, you know, if a recession is not far ahead, I mean, then you can understand that, right?
I guess. But, you know, people have been wrong. That, you know, they said in somewhere, Barron's column today, they said all along people have said, you know, oh, rates aren't going to go much higher, they're not going to go much higher. Right. Now they did, and they, oh, my God, what happened?
Right, right.
You know, so.
Well, you know, I think bottom line, it's probably good to be diversified. It's probably good to have some in oil.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
You know. Last one I wanted to mention is Boeing.
Yeah, that was wild.
That one looks like it just made a breakout.
I think it made a new all-time high. That you know.
Can you see a price target on that one?
Oh, it had a huge breakout.
Yep, major, major breakout.
500, it closed at 386.
Okay.
Yeah.
I
mean,
just picked up a little bit last week on that.
Yeah, I mean, should have good support down around,
370? 370
in that area, yeah.
So, I mean, it looks like right now, the money's going into industrials and oil.
Well, one of the callers asked about IR, or the chat room.
Ingersoll Rand,
which is an industrial,
that looked
right,
pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, it had a huge breakout, just like Boeing. It looks similar.
I think that's where the money's going. Even
and
Capitol,
those are,
I mean,
you know,
Capitol
big... healthy, as opposed to, you know, companies we've heard of that do a lot of business.
Yeah, and we talked, you know, it should be going into financial stocks, you know.
But that's not seemingly working.
But it's hit or miss, you know, in that area. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, guys. Great show.
Thanks,
Dan. Always enjoy listening.
All right, take care. Thank you.
You're listening to Willard Saperstein, Peter Greco, the Dollar Doctors, live Saturday, October 6th at 10:50. We do have time for a few more callers at 803-1520 or 1-800-879-7541. And also you can go to our website, saperstein.com, go to the Dollar Doctor drop-down box, go live and streaming, go to the bottom and stick in some symbols of stocks you want to chat about. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning.
You are patient.
Yes, I am. I don't know the symbol of this company, but I own it, and it's doing really well. Hopefully some other people will buy some and do good. It's called Intuitive Surgical.
Oh, ISRG.
ISRG, yeah.
What do you think of that, Jack?
Well,
it's a great company.
It's something somebody should have owned for many years, and they'd be off in the Bahamas or someplace, you know. But you've got to watch it here now.
It's come down from 580 to 540, right, basically, and then closed at 548. But it's been going up from 450 since May of this year. And earlier this year it was at 350. So I have a client that's passed away now, or I had a client, and he was getting some kind of procedure at the hospital, and he called me on his cell phone. He said, buy me some of this. I think it was $150 then. This is 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, where'd you hear about this? He said, I have a machine that's doing something to me, and it's made, it's ISRG. It's intuitive.
Yeah, they're amazing.
He was amazed with the machinery, and he bought it.
But, you know, having gone up as far as it has, if the market continues to be bad, and hopefully it's not, you know, it'll get hit more, you know.
Yeah, well, I think the market's going to keep on doing good.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that a lot. The other one I like, I own from Amazon.com, and I think the report again this quarter earnings, but after Christmas earnings, should be sky high. That should keep on going. Don't you think?
Well, and once again, it depends on the market.
It's pretty volatile.
Yeah, it depends on the market.
It got as high as 2032 recently, and it's at 1600 right now.
Where is
it? Not back to 1600.
No, it's not 1600.
Well, maybe it's 1800.
I'm
wearing Peter's glasses.
They do good, really good at Christmas.
Well, it is. It is, but you got to be aware that if this market gets really bad, this thing could lose 30, 40%. You know.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, you got to pay attention to what's going on out there. You know.
Yeah. One more symbol I got you might want to take a look at is was hovering around 16, 17 bucks a share, and recently it went up to 33.
I didn't quite catch this. The
name.
He
didn't say yet.
Oh.
Symbol is X.
U.S. Steel.
No. Just a regular X.
What? A regular X. The letter X is U.S. Steel.
Yeah.
That's what you own? Yeah.
Yeah.
It can't be. What is the name of the company?
I made a mistake. The symbol is an I. Just an I.
Oh, yeah. That's been unbelievable. Intelstat.
You know that?
More and more people need satellite, you know, for transmitting their services.
Wow.
It's going through the moon.
It is. I think it's going to do really, really well.
Well, you got to realize where this stock was, you know, not more than what? This year, sometime
this year
it was down.
This stock was at The stock was at 250.
So it's going from $2.50 to what, 30 something?
34.
Yep.
Yeah, it's taking off like really, really well.
Mm-hmm. Well, but yeah, but protect yourself because a stock like this could lose half its value. Yeah.
Overnight.
Overnight, because it's gone from 2 to 34. You know. If it even came halfway back, that'd be 18, you know.
Yeah, or take a little off the table, as they say.
Yeah, so
you need a plan, that's all, with all this stuff.
Right.
I mean, right now, it and another one, Iridium, you know, is another satellite company, IRDM. They've been both going up, you know. But like I say, if the market takes a tank for a while, you know, these things can give back a lot, you know.
Yeah. Well, the only reason I see the market tanking, in my opinion, is if Trump continues to threaten tariffs on China.
Mm-hmm.
But these companies that I mentioned, the Amazon and the surgical company and this one here, the I don't think China's going to affect them at all.
Well, the market can. You know, the stock market can. Believe me, if the stock market went down 20%, these would get whacked.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, well, thank you so much for
okay.
letting me talk to you.
Well, that's all right.
Thanks for holding 20 minutes,
yeah.
Jack. We
thank
appreciate
you very
it.
Much. Okay. Take
thank
care.
You. You are listening to Willard Sapriston, Peter Greco, The Dollar Doctors Live, Saturday, October 6, 2018, brought to you by Sapriston Asset Management, with free economic research at the website sapriston.com, published by from Stone & McCarthy. We do clear securities, Sue Brighton. Securities Corp. in Rochester, member FINRA, MSRB, and an RIA, which means we manage accounts too. There was someone on the chat box that wanted to know about BLK, which I think is BlackRock.
BLK, BlackRock.
And yeah. They might be the largest provider because they do iShares now.
No, do they too? Really?
They bought out Merrill, you know.
Huh.
BlackRock closed at 470. And it's come down from 550.
They're looking to buy it, or they
yeah,
own it?
Yeah, they're looking to buy it.
Yeah, well, the catch is if you buy it, you don't want to see it go under
460.
460, yeah.
And where to close? 470.
Yeah, so it's you know, potentially going down to support, but boy, if it broke the 460.
I don't want to look.
I don't want to look at where the bottom is, you know.
I'll tell you what the bottom
is. And all I do know is this has been in a downtrend for quite a while.
Oh, yeah, since last year.
Yep.
You got support at 240 and good support at 370.
Yeah, 370.
So you could go 100 points.
Yeah. So if you've done, as we said, your own research, and you think there's a good reason to buy it, you know, you're in a potential support, but you break the 460, that could be a big
problem. Well, I know they're making a lot of money. I don't understand why the stock price is doing.
Well, whatever. It's that's what I was telling the other person. You know, I remember back in the, what was it, in the, was it the 2000 bear market or one of those? Corning Glass hit, what, $1 or something like that?
Yeah.
The low?
Yeah.
Great company. I mean, you could rave about it, but the thing was down to $1. Of course, if you had bought it then, you'd be thrilled. You know?
Next chat box was Dr. Pepper, Coring Dr. Pepper, and it looks great. in terms of the chart. It closed yep. at 22, 50-day, 23.5, 200-day at 20.
So if you're a long-term investor, you don't want it under 20.
That's right.
And it just broke out, and you should have support in the 20 area, right? Yeah. 2021.
Yeah. I don't know that it goes up anymore, but it doesn't look terrible.
It looks very solid.
You want to look and see how much debt they took on when they bought Dr. Pepper, because that's those little machines that make the coffee. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well.
But looks good with good support in the 20 area, 20, you know, around there.
You've been listening to Sapristan Asset Management, Willard Sapristan, Peter Greco, the Dollar Doctors, brought to you by Sapristan Asset Management. We have a website, sapristan.com, with free economic research. We manage accounts. We also do transaction-based business. We do clear our securities through Brighton Securities. Member in Rochester, member FINRA, MSRB, RIA, with the website brighton.com. Gee, I could have never figured that out. And as we always say, because we're on at 10 o'clock and rebroadcast from 12 to 1 Saturday nights, 10 o'clock Saturdays live, keep a little powder dry and good night and good luck.
You've been listening to The Dollar Doctor Show. Every Saturday morning at 10, Willard Sapristan and Peter Greco answer your questions about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, retirement issues, and the economy in general. The Dollar Doctor Show is brought to you by Sapristan Asset Management, member of the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, SIPC, MSRB. Discussion of specific securities should not be construed as recommendations to buy or sell, either by Sapristan Asset Management or AM 1520 WWKB. The Dollar Doctor Show is rebroadcast on Saturday night at midnight. You're invited to join us again then or next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1520 WWKB.